So let me encourage you once again this morning to find your sermon notes. You can follow along as we go, fill in the blanks. Most importantly, live the message this week. But before we get to that, turn to the person next to you and say, if you live long enough, you will be wronged. Can you do that? If you live long enough, you will be wronged. Absolutely, that is going to happen. I guarantee it 100%. You are going to be lied to. You're going to be lied about. You are going to have people that you trust betray you. You're going to have some of your best friends leave you when you need them the most. People will borrow from you and never repay you. They will steal from you and not think anything about it. They will leave you with the short end of the stick, and they're going to leave you holding the bag. The only question is, when they do that, what are you going to do about it? And that's really what our series in forgiveness is all about. We began with the big S, which is what? Sin. We know that we have sinned. We've missed the mark. God has a certain standard. And we can all admit that we have fallen short. We haven't done all that God commands. And because of that, there's guilt and there's shame. And we're in bondage to our sin. So we have that big C that Joe talked about, which is confession. We admit what God already knows. And we do that frequently because we sin frequently. Well, today we're getting to the big A, the forgiveness, the absolution, which means to cancel the debt, to pay the price of our sin. And we can handle all of that pretty well, but the real trouble, the real conundrum, the real challenge is when it is not our sin that we're dealing with, but someone else. When they've missed the mark, when they have wronged us, when they are the ones who are responsible for rupturing our relationship, then what do you do? And some of you have a lot of hurt. And maybe you're even holding on to a grudge because someone has not only hurt you once, but they have continued to do it. And they maybe even apologized for it. Then they did it again. And maybe they apologized again. And then they did the whole thing over. So Peter asked that question. He asked Jesus, how many times must I forgive my brother or sister? You see, they didn't just sin against me once, but they continue to do the very same thing. And he even offered a number. He thought he was being a very generous soul. He said, 7 times? I mean, that's a perfect number, isn't it? 7 days in the week. He thought he was being generous because the Jewish custom was to forgive 3 times. You know how it goes, 1, 2, 3 strikes, and you're out. So he doubles it and throws in 1 more. Peter thinks he's going to get the Disciple of the Year award. I'm so gracious, I'm so generous. And Jesus says, no, nope, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Now, I want you to understand this is not just a math question. Jesus is not saying, okay, 70 times 7 is what? Somebody shouted out, 490 times. He's not saying, get an app on your smartphone, and every time the person sins against you, you push the button and it clicks up 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 all the way up to 490. And then on 491, you can just go nuke them. It's not what he's saying, right? He's saying 7 is perfect, as in days of the week, times 10, which is all the commands that Jesus says we ought to obey, times 7 again, which is perfection. You continue to forgive. over and over and over and over and over and over again. Because that is what God has done for you. And then he tells this wonderful parable, the most important story that Jesus tells about forgiveness. And now, take a look at your notes. So we get the entire premise, which is this. You will never get to the what or even the how of forgiveness if you don't first understand the why. You see, so often we are conditioned as we pray the Lord's Prayer later. How does it go in that the last part? Forgive us our trespasses, our debts, our sins, as we do what? As we forgive others' trespasses, right? And we think the obligation is, if I don't forgive, God won't forgive. And that is absolutely true. But I hope that you can see as we go through this parable that the motivation is not from the law, that God won't forgive us, but rather the gospel, because we have already been forgiven. So let's take a look at the parable. There are 3 points. Two of these are things that we are to do, and one is we are to don't. Okay? So, number one, do remember that God has given his forgiveness to you. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. So, kind of like you're all lined up here, you're all servants, I'm the king, all of you have debts. So we'll just start, you know, right here in the front row, you owe me 10,000 talents. Now, to put that in perspective, how much is 10,000 talents? Well, 10,000 talents, or one talent, I should say, is 60,000 denarii. How much is a denarius? It is the average wage of an average worker for one day. So let's say that the average worker makes $50,000 a year, which is pretty much the average year in the U.S. these days. You work for 28 years, which is how old most people were at that time. You multiply it all together, and you owe me $8.2 billion. Pay it up right now. And of course, the servant cannot. And the problem isn't that the man maxed out his American Express card. That's not the problem. We all have debt. We all owe money. Problem is that it is such a staggering amount. I mean, $8.2 billion is literally 10,000 bags of gold. It is literally a boatload full of money. Now, to put that in perspective, if you worked 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, worked every single day, never took a break, it would take you 164,000 years to pay that off. That is 5,857 a lifetime. Do you think the king will ever expect this man to repay him? Tell the person next to you, not until hell freezes over. Go ahead and do that. Not until pigs fly. Go ahead and say that. Not until Pastor Tiemann becomes a Cubs fan. Say that. See, it's never, ever, ever going to happen. That's the point. The debt cannot be paid. And so the man's response is absolutely hilarious. What does he say? Be patient. Just be patient. It's only going to take me about 6,000 lifetimes to pay it. Be patient, and I will pay back everything. And of course, he never can, he never will. Now, what's the point of the whole story? Well, we need to put ourselves in the story, which is what we do in every parable. It's not just for the disciples of 2,000 years ago. It's for the disciples of today. So the debtor is, you guessed it, you and me. We are those slaves, literally. We are the servants. We are the debtors. And the debt is sin. And it is so great, we can never, ever, 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 not in 6,000 lifetimes, repay it. And the king, of course, is God. And now, this is where the plot turns. Servant's master took pity on him. And he canceled the debt and let him go. Can you imagine? $8 billion. And unlike our own government, where we just write these things off, the king can't do that. Someone has to pay. And so he goes to his treasury and he finds 10,000 bags of gold. And he pays the debt himself. So this is the second thing that I want you to remember. Don't refuse to give your forgiveness to others, because you have already received the greatest payment you could ever imagine. Not $8.2 billion, but the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. Now, you would expect this servant who's been forgiven $8 billion that he would go out, and as he finds another man who owes him a sum of money, that he would be so grateful, that he would just be dancing down the aisles and he would be in the greatest mood ever. So when he finds this other servant who owes him 100 denarii, he would say, "Hey, don't worry about it. I've just been forgiven $8 billion." But no, he chokes him. And he says, "Pay it up, or I'm going to throw you and your family in prison." It's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, the amount that the second servant owes is the equivalent of $13,694. In comparison to the $8 billion, it is zero. And look at all those zeros. 0.00000. 0.167%, which is literally infinitesimal. Do you know the definition of infinitesimal? Somebody go Google it. It's nearly zero. 8 billion, zero. 8 billion, zero. Not only is the man ungrateful, he is completely unreasonable. He throws the man in prison. How easy is it to pay off a debt in prison? I mean, if you can't pay it when you're on the outside, how will you pay it on the inside? It's impossible. So now back to you. Why should you forgive, fill in the blank, so-and-so? And I know this is hard, because a lot of you have been hurt. You've been wrong. And not just once, but repeatedly. And that person may even have apologized. But then they've done it again and again and again. Do you know why it's so hard to forgive someone else when we easily go to God and ask Him for forgiveness? Because we haven't seen the proportion. We think that what we've done against God is just a tiny little trespass. You know, when you see the no trespassing sign, you know what I used to do when I was a kid? When I was on the farm, a lot of our neighbors had no trespassing signs. This is what me and my brothers would do. We would go to the property line and we would put our oh. Oop. just stepped over. Oh, no big deal. Oh, did it again. That's how we look at our sin against God. It's just putting a little tiny toe over the line. When God says you have fallen so short that you could never ever repay it in 6,000 lifetimes. And so we need to quit looking at what the infinitesimal sin of someone else who has wronged us and begin to look at the incredible debt that we could never repay. And God paid himself. So finally then, do realize that forgiveness brings freedom. And I'll show you exactly what I mean. As we look at this servant, the king says, "You wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. I had no reason to do it. You don't deserve it. You could never repay it. But because you begged, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" Of course, of course. But he does not. This story should and could have had a happy ending. All the man needed to do was forgive, as he had been forgiven. And yet this man holds on to the debt. Just like so many of us hold on to the wrong that someone has done. And so what happens? We're filled with bitterness and anger and resentment. So who does that hurt the most? When you don't forgive, does it hurt the person? We think we're going to punish that person and we're not going to forgive them. But who does it really hurt? It hurts you. It's like, you know, offering poison to your enemy, but then drinking it yourself. Forgiveness primarily benefits the one who forgives, not the one who's forgiven. Just like unforgiveness primarily hurts the one who refuses to forgive, not the one who isn't forgiven. And so I hope that as you understand the parable and you see the incredible debt that God has forgiven, not because you deserved it, but simply because he is a God of compassion and love, that you would no longer look at that little infinitesimal thing that someone has wronged you, but at the huge debt, the cross, that God has paid for you. And so when we get to the Lord's Prayer in a little bit, it's still true that we are asking God to forgive us as we have forgiven others. But please let the motivation be not because I want to be forgiven, but because I already am. God doesn't forgive me because I forgive others. God forgives me because Jesus Christ died on the cross. And God forgives the person who has wronged me for the very same reason, because Jesus died on the cross. So I pray that you would forgive others because God has first forgiven you. So finally, if you have received God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ, and if you trust in that God who would die for you, then whoever has done something to you, whenever they did it, even if it was years ago, and whatever it was, and no matter how many times, go and forgive them. And why? Because forgiven people forgive people. That's why. Amen. Amen.